inshallah, in few minutes, I'm going to talk about Mawlidin Nabi or Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What are the objectives, maqasid, why we celebrate Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how we celebrate Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because some people have some doubts, so that's why I want to make it clear. The first reason that we celebrate Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shukran lillahi ta'ala, that to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is very important that we should be thankful to each and every ni'mat and blessing or bounty which is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be thankful for that. And there is no doubt at all, there is no question about it, that whether Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the ni'mat of Allah or not. Everybody agree that he is the greatest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said in Quran, فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, that talk about, proclaim about the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you get any bounty of Allah, then you tell other people. So this is the one of the reasons that we proclaim and we tell everybody that we are thankful to Allah that Allah made us the ummati and follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any action we have done. We didn't do anything to be the ummati or follower of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the intikhab or istifa of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that Allah had chosen us, Allah had given us such an opportunity, such a blessing, that he made us the ummati of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the one of the reason, the basic reason that we thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, you made us ummati of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you had granted us Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger, as a prophet, as a personality who is unique and whose character is unique and whose teachings and contributions are unique for whole ummah and for whole humanity. The second reason is that we recognize and admit the greatness of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the azmatul nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is another thing that every ummati, every follower of Prophet ﷺ have to admit, that Muhammad ﷺ is the greatest personality on this planet. And there is no doubt at all. So that is the reason that we celebrate Miladun Nabi ﷺ, to show that he is not ordinary people, is not ordinary person. Muhammad ﷺ is a unique person, he's creation of Allah, no doubt at all. We don't worship him. Other day, some lady called me, I think she was in a college. She said she's doing a project about Quran and Islam, and she asked that, do you worship Quran? So I was in the masjid, so I said, no, we don't worship Quran. So she said, what is the Quran? So I told her that Quran is Kalamullah, word of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It's holy scripture given by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even Muhammad is our messenger, our prophet. We do not worship him. We worship only and only and only one God who is creator of all universe. So that is the reason that we celebrate Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We admit that we are followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his character is unique, and his teachings are unique, and he has given a lot of bounties and miracles and mu'jizat from Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ فِي الْأَنَامِ فَضِيلَةٌ وَجُمْلَتُهَا مَجْمُوعَةٌ فِي مُحَمَّدٍ, that every prophet was given a special khatla or beauty or ability or mu'jiza, but all mu'jizat and beauties and abilities, if collected, so that is the personality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all the goodness is collected in one personality, and that is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is in his name, Muhammad, alladhi yuhmadu hamdan ba'da hamdin. Muhammad means the one who is admired over and over and over, one who is being admired. So this is the second object that we practically demonstrate, that we admit Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our greatest personality. And even the non-Muslims, they cannot reject that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest person on this planet. Lamartine is one of the French scholars. In 1854, there was a discussion in the newspapers and in the media, and everybody was talking and thinking and writing who could be the greatest person on this planet. So then he wrote a book and he tried to make a standard. He said, first we have to make a standard to measure, to determine, to declare that who could be the greatest personality. So he said, in my thinking, there should be the three things, three criteria, and if we check and test everybody on this level, then we can easily decide that who is number one and who is not. So he said, the first reason, if we are testing about any personality, historical or any political, any person in the world, so he said, the first thing we have to see, the greatness of purpose, that the personality we're talking, if he had a great purpose, what was his objective, what he wanted to do. So he said, this is the first thing, because there might be leaders, but their objects are not legal or even not humanitarian. So that's why the first thing is, we have to see what is the purpose of that person. So the greatness of purpose, that is the first thing. And the second thing he said is the smallness of means and sources. There might be people who have a great purpose. Nowadays we see many charity organizations, and the person who is working, he has the support of the government or the media, right? So, and there are people who are projecting, like the woman who led the Jummah prayer, Abda Wadud, these ignorant people, because there is behind someone who can project. So the second thing is that it's mean. If you don't have the sources and your object, your aim is great, not only for your family, not only for yourself, but for whole humanity. And he said, even though we see on this two criterion, we can find many people. So he said there is third one, and that is the outstanding results in his life. So he said there are many people who give ideas, like the Dr. King, and today his dream is people are looking that the Obama is the president. So he said outstanding result in his life, in his whole lifetime, he would see the outstanding result. So he said, if this is the criterion, so who dare to declare anyone else other than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the greatest personality on this planet? Because we see his greatness of purpose, that what he did, he unified the whole nation, whole world in one ummah, a global community. Racism and this and that, everything is gone because of his people. His purpose is great, and even when he is talking about charity, he's saying, my family cannot take charity. My offspring, they will not take zakah or sadaqah. It's haram for them. So his greatness of purpose, you see, that his purpose is very great. And the second thing, smallness of means. And we have seen in Makkah, his own family members, his own tribe, they were his enemy. And the Muslims and Islam had no resources to protect their mission. And the third thing is the outstanding results. And we have seen that a time came that when we see in all around the Jaziratul Arab that Islam is spread and the people are coming and accepting Islam. As I was mentioning in Friday's speech, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. So we have seen the groups of people coming and they are accepting Islam. So he said that then there is only one personality, and that is the personality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what I was saying, that why we celebrate Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Maulid al-Nabi. So the first thing is that we thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And number two, we admit and we demonstrate the great greatness of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Prophet, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a unique personality. And the third reason is that we remind each other what are the teachings of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are the maqasid of bi'that of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why Allah mab'ooth him? Why Allah sent him? And these are the things. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. That this is the duty. Why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent? So Allah said that he recites the Quran. That is his mission. To read the Quran, to explain the Quran, to teach and educate the people. He is the best educator, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is not only a reciter of Quran, he is also an educator and the best educator. Right? And the one who teaches the wisdom, hikmah. The one who teaches the sunnah. The one who teaches the tafsir and hadith. So that is much more important. So this is the third reason we celebrate Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We remind each other that what are the teachings of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why Allah sent him, and what is his teaching? That we worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to respect each other. We have to live like one community, like one brotherhood and sisterhood, and sacrifice for others and taking care of others, visiting the sick people. So these are the issues. When we talk about the seerah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also discuss these issues. So this is another important thing, that we remind each other the teachings of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the fourth reason of celebrating Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to give dawah to non-Muslims. Because this is another responsibility given by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Muslims, that take these words when he delivered the farewell ceremony, that take these words to those who are not present here today. So this is another duty, that we have to tell other people that what was the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And once we have these kind of seminars, teachers, the program or conference, so that we remind other people and we convince them and we convey that message brought by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the rest of the world, and then they think. And there are many incidents in Islamic history that many people, when they just had seen this kind of celebration, because when people celebrate theirs, so they have different ideas. But when they had seen the how Muslims they are celebrating Maulid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so then they get closer to Islam, and then Allah opened their heart, and then they become Muslim. How we celebrate? Like, there are different ways we can fast on these days. This is one way to celebrate that day, that we are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reciting the Holy Quran is another way. And when we are reciting the Holy Quran, this is also blessing, right? And when we have any Maulid al-Nabi or Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Milad program, so what we do there? First we recite the Holy Quran, then we recite the Qasida, Naat or Madih, Midhat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we admire Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And reciting Quran, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody agrees, yes, reading Quran is good. And no one can object, at least Muslim cannot object. Recitation of Quran. Number two is Qasida or Naat. So that is also proved by the Hadith that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, he heard many times Naat and Qasida, which were recited by different Sahaba. Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Qab bin Zuhair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abbas, the uncle of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there were many people who said the Qasida or admiration or praises of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Prophet heard it, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he liked it, and he said for Hassan, Allahumma ayyidhu bi ruhi al-Qudus. And said there are many hadith even in Sahih al-Bukhari. So the third thing what we do is the lecture about the seerah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the life of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the time when he was born, and what was the condition of the world, and what positive change was brought by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholars in 1 hour or 2 hours, they have different kind of lectures and information which is given to the believers. And after that, we say Salat and Salam on Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So reciting Salat and Salam on Prophet is nothing wrong with that. And you can do it whether collectively, individually, you can do it while you are sitting, you are standing, even while you are laying down. So there is nothing an obligatory thing that you have to do in this way. Right? So you can do Salat and Salam on Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as much as you want. And then we make dua, and then food is distributed, and everybody eat food and go home. That's it. There's nothing. And all these things, these are the, you can say, the nowadays is the formal way to do any program. Otherwise, nothing, none of them is an obligatory thing that you have to do this. Like, let's say if there's a program, there's no one who can recite the Qasida. Okay, just recite the Quran. And then even if nobody is who can recite the Quran in well way, so that the Imam is there and he delivers speech about Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's it. Or at home you can arrange all these things. So just you have some food and you send it to the neighbors or the poor, even the poor, non-Muslims, give the food. And they are saying, why you are doing? He says, just sadaqa, charity, for the sake of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, because our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, that's what we are doing. Right? Or you can give the garment, libas, to those who are poor, orphans, those who cannot afford it. So by any source, by any way, we can celebrate it. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's why even Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he also mentioned that Allah bless them, Allah give them the reward, those who celebrated the Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there's nothing wrong with that. And one more thing which is very important. The one who is not celebrating Eid Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, still he is Muslim. These are the both extreme ends. The one who is saying that we have to celebrate, and if somebody is not celebrating, we consider he is not Muslim. No. It's optional thing, it's mustahab. It's blessing. If you do, you get blessing. If somebody is not doing, so we cannot say he's out of Islam. We don't have that authority. But on the other end, those who are doing and those who are not doing, they don't have right to say that because you are doing Miladun Nabi, so you are out of Islam. So they also wrong. So they don't have that authority too. So they should have tolerance, those who are celebrating Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They should have respect for them. Okay, at least they are doing something, reading Quran or Qasida, or at least they are sitting in the masjid, away from TV or the markets or backbiting or bad things. At least they are doing something good. So if we go in this way, then there is nothing wrong with that. I have one of the fatwa from Jamiat al-Azhar, the Mufti of Azhar, was asked about Maulid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And anybody want, I can forward that email in 2 pages. Again, if you say that this is an obligation, it's farz, it's wajib, then you are making mistakes. If Sharia is complete, and Islam and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a complete Sharia. Right? And this is one of the form of, you can say, izhar of mahabba with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And man ahabba shayin akthara min zikri. That's what Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith. That if you love someone, you will remember him over and over without any excuse. Just for no reason, you will mention him over and over. Right? So the one who loves Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not need only one day in a year that, okay, Rabiul Awwal would come and only that day I would remember Prophet. No, they remember Prophet every time, every day, whenever they get a chance. Even we heard some of the scholars when they went to Africa, in many countries in Africa, South Africa, and different towns and cities and countries of Africa. So they had seen that anybody is getting married, so they are doing before the marriage ceremony, Maulid al-Nabi. So I asked the scholars that, didn't you ask them? Their forefather told them that whenever you have any good happening, you build the house, new house, and you're going there, you want blessing, have Maulid al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, so this is the custom. What they, nobody ever said that this is obligation or this is the one of the things that we have to do. No. Or some of the African countries, you would be surprised that they don't get married until they perform Hajj. Yeah? So Like in our country, in Pakistan, India, mostly they ask the boy or girl, they completed Quran, Nazira, they can read Quran or not. So this is, we think it's very religious thing. When they go for proposal, so they ask, so this is our limit. But in there, and in our country, we had seen that mostly people in subcontinent, when they are old, retired, then they go for Hajj. Right? But in Indonesia and some of the African countries, they are not getting married until they perform the Hajj. So when any offer is coming, so they ask that whether the groom or bride perform the Hajj or not. So these are some of the things. So if we want to accommodate the things, then there is nothing wrong. But if we want to make issue, then we can make anything as an issue. We can say why this is this, why this is that. Right. So a concept, and there is nothing wrong with that, that you come to the masjid, you recite the Holy Quran, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sayyinu Qur'ana bi aswatikum," that make Quran more beautiful with your melodious voice. If you have tajweed, qiraat, and you have good voice, and you recite it with tarteel and with the best manner, that would attract the people, because Quran has this power which can change the people. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every leader, a general, or king, when they conquer, they got victory over any city or country, they got victory with the power. But I got victory over Medina with the power of Quran. No troop went to Medina. There was no battle with the people of Medina. So it was only Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is a teenager, Sahabi of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went there, and what he took with him? Nothing. No weapons. He just took the Quran, the light of Quran. And with the Quran, so he cleaned the hearts of the people, and they got the light of Iman, and then they got closer to Islam, and then the whole system was organized, and Prophet moved here. And when these people, they were coming to Medina, from Medina to Makkah, performing Hajj, and this was the time that they cannot see Prophet in the daylight. The Muslims, and they were always waiting, oh, when Hajj season would come, and then we would go to Makkah, and we could see Prophet. But you see how difficult is the situation. They cannot meet him in the daytime, because Quraysh are people of Makkah, they can give hard time. And so at the night, the time is set, midnight, and Prophet came to see them and talk to them. And his uncle Abbas, he was with him. And now they are taking pledge there with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they ask Allah's messenger, why don't you leave Makkah and come to Medina? So he said, I am Prophet of Allah, I cannot do anything without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them that whenever Allah commanded me, he had given me permission, I would come to Medina. But you have to pay the price. You have to pay the price. They said, we will pay the price. By any cost, we will protect you, we will protect your mission. So this is, if this deal is not a simple deal. Today we make very simple deal, we love Prophet, we are true Muslims. So this is a unique deal. They said, by any cost, we will protect you, and we will protect the mission. And Prophet came to Medina, so they proved in the Battle of Badr, in the Battle of Uhud, in Khandaq, they proved that they paid the price, and they proved that they truly loved Prophet. And then Makkah was conquered, so some people, they thought maybe this is the hometown of Prophet, so maybe he will stay here, he will not be back. And another thing happened, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a lot of ghanima, the wealth, war booty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving this to the people of Quraysh and other people who are coming, so he's giving them. So some of the people, some youngsters, sahaba, they said, Prophet said, aren't you happy these people, they go with cattle and sheep and goats and wealth, and you go with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they heard it, so they were so happy and they were rejoicing that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is still going with it. So the both were loyal, what they had said, they proved it. So that's what we learned in Mawlid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I pray to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we become a righteous Muslim and we have that courage that we can tolerate others, and we celebrate Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a new spirit, with the spirit of love and care and respect for others, and we celebrate Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention that inshallah by the next year I would adopt the sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would read more about his life and I would adopt his akhlaq and his adab and his manners, and I would continue to spread his mission to the Muslims as well as to the non-Muslims. And then when we will celebrate Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will definitely see the blessing and we will see the change what Allah needed, the change what Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, the change what Islam and Quran is demanding us. That change has to be brought. If we bring that change, inshallah, we'll be successful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a true believer. If you have any questions, so we have to pray inshallah in 10 minutes. So there are some questions. Right. Okay. Yes. So it's not a bid'ah celebrated by Imam.
Mufti Sahib was here, Professor Mufti Munibur Rahman, he said that whatever is haram, so even if you take the religious name, so even then that is haram.
Right.
So the haram thing is haram by any banner. So it's not you change the banner and then haram will become halal and halal will become haram. So the raqs or dancing is already forbidden. So whether you do it by the national day or on the name of marriage or marriage party or by any other name, so that is forbidden. No question about it. Yeah. No, not at all. Yeah. That's what I said. What we mean Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reading the Quran, the Holy Quran, reciting the Qasida, Madih, not of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the speech about the seerah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His teachings, his message, because there are different aspects of his life. And this was done in Prophet's time, hadith in Jami al-Tirmidhi. Hadith, sahih, that Prophet ﷺ came to Masjid and the Sahaba they are sitting. And one said, Subhanallah, Adam is very closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam alayhi salam, he's Safiullah, he's the first creation. And the other one said, oh, you don't know, the Nuh alayhi salam, he's second Adam. And the third one said, you don't know the Musa alayhi salam, he's Kaleemullah. He spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah spoke to him, he's Kaleem. And the other is saying, you don't know Isa alayhi salam, he's Kalimatullah, Ruhullah. So they are discussing and everybody is telling that Allah had given this fadilat and this respect and this honor to this Prophet. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he was behind and he was listening. And he said, قَدْ سَمِعْتُ كَلَامَكُمْ وَعَجَبَكُمْ. I heard what you were saying and you were being surprised that, oh, Allah gave this honor to that Prophet, this honor to that Prophet, this honor to that Prophet. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَّا وَأَنَا حَبِيبُ اللَّهِ. You said, Adam is Safiullah, وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. Right? You said, Musa alayhi salam, Kaleemullah, وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. Right? So you said, Nuh, Najiullah, وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. You said, Isa alayhi salam, kalimatullah wa ruhuhu, huwa kathalik. Ala wa ana habibullah. Be there, I am habib of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And he said, I am the first one who will do the intercession and I would be the first one whose intercession would be accepted. Ana Sayyidu Wuldi Adam Wala Fakhr. I am the leader of all the generation of Adam alayhi salam, and I am not being proud of that. So I'm not proud that I am Allah had given me this. So this is his humbleness. But you see, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, he said that this is what happened, and this is what Allah had given to me. And Sahaba were doing it in the masjid. So Prophet did not say, this is the masjid of Allah, just talk about Allah. Don't talk about prophets of Allah. Hadith in Tirmidhi. There is another hadith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked that why you were sitting here. So they said, we were sitting here, نَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى وَنَشْكُرَهُ. We were sitting here, مَنَّ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا بِالْإِسْلَامِ, that we were being thankful to Allah that Allah had blessed us, that Allah had did ihsan over us, favored us with Islam, and we were just here thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah had given us the ni'mah. The Prophet said, swear to God why you were sitting. So they said, we swear that that's why we're sitting here. So Prophet said, I don't think that you were lying, but why I asked you to swear? Because Angel Jibreel came to me and he said that Allah is speaking high about you before the angels. That means what you are doing is highly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's happy. What you are doing in the masjid, you are thankful to the ni'mat of Islam Allah has given to you, and you are thanking for that ni'mat. So if the Sahaba are thanking the ni'mat of Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks high about them, what about the ummati of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And today's ummati Muslimah, believers, that if we sit in the masjid and we are thanking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah blessed us with Islam, and Allah blessed us with the greatest personality as a prophet, as a messenger, as a final messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no doubt that Allah would definitely appreciate, Allah would like it, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would shower his blessings upon those who celebrate Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anybody has any other questions. Yeah, everyone. MashaAllah. Hayakallah, is here. Brother Usman told, yes. Also in that hadith, that they also spoke that Ibrahim alayhi salam is Khalilullah. So every Sahabi was talking about different prophets and their different quality. Ibrahim is Khalilullah, Adam is Safiullah, Musa is Kalimullah, Isa is Ruhullah. So they were talking about the prophet. And then Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said, Ala wa ana Habibullah. And then Khullat and Habib. Yani, these are two, being Khalil and being Habib. And then ulama differentiated that what is the difference. And then they said the word Habib is carrying all the qualities in it. The Kaleem and Khalil and Safi, all these qualities are under the banner of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any other question? Go ahead. This evidence is not applicable in Islamic Sharia, because in our practical life we are doing dozens and hundreds and thousands of things which were not being done in the lifetime of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lifetime of Islam. So in Islam, whatever is haram, Allah and His Prophet, they made it clear that what is haram, right? So that's why what we are saying, that this is not an obligation, right? So the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, you can see their life, that in their whole life, they were busy to protect Islam, to protect Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see in the life in Mecca, and then 13 years of Medina, right? So when did they have the time? And you know those people, they celebrate Siratul Nabi conference, right? They have Siratul Nabi conference. And give us any dalil, any evidence in the Islamic history that Sahaba ever had Siratul Nabi conference. They never had Siratul Nabi conference. oh, come everybody in Masjid Nabawi today, there is Seeratul Nabi conference. So what is your answer? Or there are many, many conventions, right? Many masajid, many Darul Uloom, Jamiat, they are doing many, 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 many things. And when we ask them, then where they are going to bring that proof, right? Many, many nations, they are celebrating Eid al-Watani, National Day, right? So when we ask them, so what they are going to say, right? So, and as Mufti Sahib, he explained that in Islamic law, that when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fasted on the day of Ashura, and he told Sahaba to fast. Why was that? Because it is Thanksgiving. Musa alayhi salam, he got victory, and his followers, they got victory over Pharaoh, and that Pharaoh, that's why they were fasting, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved it, and this is hadith in Bukhari. So Prophet did not say that, oh no, no, and there is hadith, man sanna fil islami sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amilaha, that the one who is introducing any good thing in Islam, what that means, which is not against the spirit of Islam, against the teachings of Islam, if anybody is introducing that thing, so he would get the reward of that, and those who practice on that, they would also get reward of that. And there is another, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, ma ra'ahu al-muslimuna hasanan fa huwa indallahi hasan. If the Muslim ulama scholars, they declare something as good, that is also good in the sight of Allah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti is not a person that we can say, oh, he doesn't know. He's muhaddith. Shafi al-Mazhab, great scholar, is saying that Maulid al-Nabi is Mubarak. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith of Delhi is a great scholar, he's saying is approved. Ibn Hajar, Sheikh Muhaddith, he's saying is approved. Muhaddith Ibn Jawzi, who is very mutashaddith, he's saying it's okay, it's permitted, and he wrote a book in the favor of Maulid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allama Mullah Ali al-Qari is a great muhaddith, he's approving that. So when the great muhaddithin and scholars, they are, even Ibn Taymiyyah, when it comes to them, they say, oh, leave it, Ibn Taymiyyah. And other times when we talk about, they bring the Dalil, because Ibn Taymiyyah said this, and they bring him as the strongest evidence, and when we quote this one, oh, he was wrong. So what is that? Other entire year, you are always bringing as your strongest attorney general, Ibn Taymiyyah. And now when we bring him, and no one is saying, oh no, he's misguided, he made a mistake. Right. So that's why, I'm saying, if somebody is not celebrating Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not saying he is not Muslim. He's still Muslim. It's a matter of choice. But he does not have authority that those who are celebrating Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they can say that, why you are celebrating. He does not have that authority. The imams now, they are getting the salaries. If any imam said ever, that the Sahaba or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not get salary for leading the prayer. When Imam is going to make a nikah, there is no need for Imam, right? For nikah, right? There is no need. And when Imam goes there, and Imam is conducting the marriage ceremony, and he is getting the money, and sometimes they demand, oh, give me that much, right? So where is that proof? Give us any proof, single proof, that Sahaba or Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever they said. Then, well, yeah, when this comes to them, they said, no, this is the need of time. So if that is need of time, so why does not this is need of time? Now the whole world culture is that when you want to appreciate any person, you the country. The education department is setting PhD on that personality. Seminars, conference, right? Yeah, that you are admitting, yo, this is a great personality. So how you are saying, yo, he was a person, Muhammad, he was a person, he born and he died and that's it. We have nothing to do with him. And this is the one of the concepts. Some of the people were created in the time of, in subcontinent, when the British was ruling, so some people were created, they were saying there is a message and there is a messenger. Muhammad is a messenger and this is the message, and Muhammad is like postman. He said he had given us the message, the letter, The Quran is with us. Just read the Quran. We have nothing to do with the postman. They're saying the Prophet is just like a postman. So our faith is based on the personality of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you take the Muhammad away from your deen, there is nothing left behind. And that's what Mufti Sahib, when he was here, or some other places, that's what he made this point clear. That he said when he was giving lecture to some of the outstanding people in Pakistan, those who are selected as Secretary General in Foreign Affairs, so they are being briefed and given some instructions. So he said those who were selected, so he went there to give them lectures. So one of them said that Mufti Sahib, can't whole Ummah be united on Quran? Because there is no doubt in Quran and Hadith, there are so many Hadith. So leave Hadith, because this Hadith, we don't know which is correct, but, and they made a many big story. So Mufti Sahib said, yes, your question has a logic, and what you are saying is appealing, it's interesting, but you know, how you know that this Quran is from Allah? When you woke up, so next to you in your bed, there was a written that this is Quran from Allah. Our angel came to you and gave it to you, the Quran? Said, no. He said, then how you know the Quran? He said, because this came from generation to generation. So he said, those people you are depending, the Sahaba and Tabi'een, that who had given this Quran to us, the same people had given Hadith to us. It's the same source, right? So if you are denying the Hadith, then other next day you would deny the Quran. Right? So this is very important, and unfortunately, these are some of the people like the Javed Ghamdi in Pakistan TV shows. So they are funded by people, and when they come and they are rejecting the Hadith and they are showing that they are very knowledgeable person, and then they are creating the fitna. And this is the basic requirement to destroy or defeat a nation is you put them in situation of doubt. When a nation is in a doubt, their belief or faith, which was like concrete, solid, if you make them weaker, and then you won. Because nowadays, the wars are never won by the weapons. These are the wars of ideologies, faith, right? Belief. And that's what they wanted, that they want to put you in tashkik, in shak, in raib. And once you are in shak, shukuk, shubahat, and then you are going to lose everything. Hold on. If you have any question, you can type it down, and then inshallah we are going to make dua. Ji. Hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, no, Mustashrik. Huh? Yeah. So those who read the Islam, and they are not Muslim, but then they give comments and then they show that they are a research scholar and this and that, and they are neutral. But some of them, they are very extremist. And when they give some wording, so they put the poison. And one of them, he put this poison. But on other end, if you see, it's correct. He said the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said it's like a tower of electricity, which is giving you boost and energy and everything. So he said, as long as the qabr, a rawdatul nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there, that's what he's saying. So he said, that's why we cannot control these Muslims. If we take this power of powerhouse away, then we can defeat them easily. You see? So even they feel it, that what is the thing which we cannot control? And even, I think I mentioned it before, Hindu scholar in India, he wrote a book, Effects of Islam on Indian Culture. Hindustan ki tehzeeb par Islam ke asraat. So Effects of Islam on Indian Culture. So in that, because he is Indian, he's living in India, so he's describing that how Muslim came and how the clash of civilization started and this and that and cultural this. And then he said, in his book, he said that when any nation or Muslims, when they are coming to another town, any city, so we can compete with them, we can defeat them, we can fight them, we can have a competition with them. If they bring money, we can bring money. If they bring the trading values, we can come with the same. If they become a religious, the scholars with the knowledge, so we can produce. So he said, whatever they come with, we can compete. But when a Muslim a society, when they come in any town, any city, with two things, so they change the entire society. They bring a positive change. Entire city is changed. A revolution is brought. And two things. So then he was asked, what are two things? He said, love of Quran and love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, when these two things, when Muslims come with these two things in any town, they change the entire city and entire culture of that town and city. And this is true. And Allah had sent us here, so if we want to bring any change, so we have to do that. There are a few questions on internet. One, they said that people go to the grave of any sheikh and they make tawaf 7 times. It's haram, haram, haram. It's not allowed in Islam, not at all. And none of Sunni scholar ever permitted it. However, going to visiting a graveyard or qabr or mazar of any righteous person, you can go, you can make dua. That is allowed. There is nothing wrong with that. But even our scholar, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, he said you were not allowed to kiss the qabr. Not touching, not kissing, and not surrounding or making tawaf is not the way of Ahlul Sunnah. Other brother asked about the naat with the music. Our scholar said it is not permitted. We should not do naat with music. Some people do with the zikr, which is some people are doing zikr behind and it sounds like the music. So our scholar also had forbidden. They said it's not a proper way to recite the naat. When you are reciting naat, you should focusing on naat. We should not get involved in these things. I pray to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that Allah bless us all, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. And inshallah we are going to perform Salatul Isha now, and then inshallah food is ready. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.